Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. In today's world, we are under attack. But I don't want you to believe that this is the first time that the body of believers has been under attack. May I say this, from the very beginning, the righteous have been attacked. Adam and Eve had never sinned. Were they attacked? Yes. We find that Abel brought what was right, and he was killed for it. Satan hates the worshipers of the Lord, those that come to him trusting in the Word of God. He despises you. He wants to bring you down. May I say this, that he has attacked the church. He's attacked it from within, creating other teachings. There are those that will teach that you can work your way to heaven. Is that scriptural?
No.
For we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He has attacked the Bible. Even in the beginning, he had told Adam and Eve, you know, did the Lord really say that? Can you believe what he has to say? He has an alternative motive. He wants to keep you ignorant. Today, we're told that the Bible was for a different age and in a different period of time. And even God himself is attacked. Oh, there's no God. That's just a crutch to give you some hope. But when we die, it is over, for there is no God. And Satan continually attacks and attacks and attacks. And we need the Word of God for protection. Amen. And what is happening in our society today is that the Word of God is ignored. The Word of God is laughed at. The Word of God is despised. But may I say this, it's been like this down through the ages, and it's nothing new. God has always had a remnant. He has always had those who have remained faithful. Would you please stand as we read from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, as we continue our thoughts and lessons through the book of Matthew. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel to the Son of Man become. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he should be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And Lord, may we be encouraged to continue to proclaim the unsearchable riches of God. And Lord, may we be found faithful when you call us home. And Lord, oh Lord, we wish we could hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. If you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Paul writing to a young preacher, encouraging him to remain faithful. He charges him to preach the Word of God. But then he reminds him of something. Verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All those that live an upright and godly life will receive persecution. Verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Even in that period of time, around 66 AD, Paul is telling Timothy, persecution will come. Because evil men, and shall we say evil women, will continue to seduce even the very elect. Over to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verses 11 and 12, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which" what? "War against the soul." We'll get to verse 12 in just a moment. Abstain from fleshly lusts. You know, we live in an entertainment-driven society. Even within our churches, there is a desire to be entertained instead of worshiping. The desire for excitement versus the preaching of the Word of God. But we are to abstain, that we are to be different. And in our society, sometimes that's very hard. It's very difficult. There are so many things out there that are screaming at us and calling to us. I remember when we got the invitation from Jimmy John's Field over here. Do y'all know where Jimmy John's Field is over here? And they said they were having a church day. It's going to be on a Sunday. And they were going to have someone speak. They didn't say I was going to speak. But afterwards, there was going to be the beer tent. And drinking would be available. And I thought to myself, do you know that you sent that invitation to a fundamental conservative Baptist? But to them, it's just part of life. Folks, we're to be different. And it sometimes makes us seem like an oddball. But I'd rather be right in the eyes of God then be comfortable with the world. It is a different world we live in than 50 years ago. But we still need to remain faithful to the Lord. Notice again, I'll read again verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Isaiah tells us they'll call good evil and evil good. We are in a battle. Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 10 through 12. On the way down to Tennessee, we were discussing things, and I asked my two grandchildren that were going, Shayla and Travis, about their favorite verse in the Bible. And Travis said his was Ephesians 6:12. That's what you said, right? And we're going to read that in just a moment. But verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Does that tell you that we can be strong? Does that tell you that we can be victorious? Does that tell you that when hard times come and we are tempted to do wrong, we can rely on the Lord? It tells us that. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. See, the devil will come at you in different disguises, different temptations. He will try to convince you that as long as you're not hurting anybody, it obviously isn't sin. But notice verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle continues. We don't know how long our personal battle will be, but may I say this, be strong. Remain faithful. Commit yourself. Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, we find that we can do the same thing when temptation comes. If you would, the book of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We'll read verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? In other words, Lord, why are they allowed to get away with what they've done? Why are they allowed to live evil, godless lives? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever wondered why people who live vile and vulgar lives seem to get away with it? And they even make them sometimes movie stars. And people pay great amounts of money to go hear them sing raunchy, godless music. And they seem to go on and on. How long, Lord? These had died for the faith. Died for the faith. Take your Bibles and again turn to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter 3. Well-known story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we find that Nebuchadnezzar had set up an idol. And he expected everybody to come and worship the idol. And he said at the playing of the music, Oh, we could go down a lot of trails when we talk about the music of the world versus the music of those who are honoring the Lord. But when the music plays, you're to bow down. And we know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. And notice there in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O God, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Thank God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thank God for men who were willing to stand up for the cause of God. Thank God for those who will make a stand in a perverse and vile society, who will not bow down. Elijah was told that there are 7,000 that have not bowed down to Baal and have not kissed him. Yes, that was just a small remnant, but thank God for the remnant. Verse 15. Notice Nebuchadnezzar thinking he is, well, you know, if I'm nice to them and talk to them, they're going to see it's all right. You know, I'm just human like them, and I've got their best interests. Notice what it says. Now, if ye be ready. Can I say this? Satan seemingly never tires of tempting us. He never gets tired. Do you ever get tired of doing something? Yeah? How many of you just love to vacuum your house? I mean, you get up in the morning and you think, wow, I get to vacuum the house today. Anybody, you just love the vacuum? The reason I ask is Donna has 3 dogs. And I don't know why they're not bald. I mean, they constantly are shedding. I've told people when Casey and Bandit and Oreo are dead and gone and buried, for 6 months, we're still going to be vacuuming up their hair. But none of us get up like that. We get tired of something. We get tired. But Satan never tires of tempting us. He knows your weak spots. He knows your buttons. He knows those things. If he touches enough, you'll finally say, oh, okay. It's kind of like when you're told that you shouldn't eat that last chocolate chip cookie. But it's still sitting there. And we think to ourselves, you know, if I eat it, I won't be tempted. And so we convince ourselves, if we do what we know we shouldn't do, well, then the temptation will be over. Well, can I ask you this? Does he tempt you later when another chocolate chip cookie shows up? Sure. And that's just a simple example. Now, if ye be ready. May I say this? You need to be ready to say no. Yes? You need to be ready to say no. When my wife was a teenager, one of the top swimmers at Stevenson High School asked Donna out on a date. Now, I don't know why she went out with him and not with me. Just because when he walked down the halls of Stevenson High School, and you know, you have an S for Stevenson, and you remember they would have these medals you could win? He jingled and jangled. He had so many medals. Okay, I mean, it was like he had every imaginable medal that he had won. And so anyway, she went out with him, and they got to the house where the party was to be. And Donna said, "Are they drinking?" And he said, "Of course. Of course." And she says, "I'm not going in." See, she had already been told, you don't go in there. It hadn't been left up for her to decide on her own. She'd been told the right thing to do. And he says, "Well, I'm going in." And she goes, "Well, take me home first." And he goes, "Well, no." And then she says, "Get me a phone." And so she had to call her dad. And her dad had to come and get her. Now, let me say this. It's a good thing that Mr. Derringe was the way he was and not the way I am. Because I probably would have gone in the house to get the guy. Okay, you treat my daughter that way. But you know, the fact of the matter is we need to know how to say no. Because temptations are going to come your way. They're going to come. Notice verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not." Quickly, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 15. I'm running out of time. John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He will soon be arrested and go through trials. He will be spit upon. He will be mocked. He will be beaten. He will be taken to a cross. And there he'll be hanged. And notice verse 18. "If the world hate me, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love you as his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Is that a warning only to those 11 apostles, disciples? If the Lord was hated by the world, it's going to hate his followers. Did that change suddenly when America became a nation? No. It's been a battle from day one in America, and it's a greater battle now maybe than it's ever been before. But does that mean we sit down and say, "Oh, nobody's paying attention, we're just going to give up"? No. No. Back to our text, Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16. "Behold, I" what? "I send you. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Jesus is saying, "I know what's out there. I know who's out there. And I send you anyways. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." He then says in verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body. Let me read in conclusion to you from the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, I'm not going to tell you that we're all going to die in persecution. I don't know. But I know this, that we are in a battle and that we need to rely upon the word of the Lord. Shall we stand together? 401 is our invitation, only trust him. During the difficult times of life, we need to trust the Lord. When the temptations come our way, we need to trust in the Lord. When there are doubters, even within our family, when doubters that are where we work, doubters in our neighborhood, doubters among our friends, we need to trust in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, help us. Keep us strong. Lord, we know from reading articles that there are those who are being persecuted even right now for their faith. Give them strength, Lord. And Lord, give us strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.